Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, a Medal of Honor Monday, as it always is, that of course we will get to an hour from now. As you can imagine, I have many, many, many thoughts on the Senate border bill that's all over the news today. We will talk about that. We carried out retaliatory strikes on Iraq and Syria. And, oh, yeah, I was right about that. We'll talk about it. Online extremism, if that's a thing. Apparently, it's now completely legal to just discriminate against people. The Air Force rotting out from under us. Emails. So much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I want to begin here, and it's going to take me a few. So just sit down and buckle up for a few. The border bill. By now, you understand most of what's in this Senate border bill. This, quote, bipartisan bill between the most disgusting communist Democrats and the most despicable low-T traitorous GOPers. They came together and they put together a $118 billion bill. They're calling it an emergency national security bill. $60 billion to Ukraine. I think $14 billion to Israel. For you, your border, $20 billion. Sorry. Okay, I tried to think of an analogy that would put into context how treasonous this bill is. And before we go any further, I want you to know I have talked to multiple congressmen in the House of Representatives, good ones, ones I trust, and to a man, every one of them told me, Jesse, I am confident this is going to die in the House. It is not going to pass. This thing is dead. And they usually tell me when they're not confident. So that's just from them to you. I don't think it's going to become law. Now, how do I put this into words, how horrific this bill is? Because, look, the House, Senate, these people pass, every bill is horrific. It's all. A bad body like that, a corrupt, evil body, can't pass a good law. There's no such thing as a good law passed out of this Congress. You cannot get good fruit from a bad tree. You cannot. It does not happen. Let's clarify. So I want you to picture this. I want you to picture a gigantic warehouse, all right? A gigantic warehouse. And inside of this warehouse is everything you love, own, or care about. Your home, your apartment, it's in the warehouse. Your cars in the warehouse. Maybe you got toys, jet skis and stuff in the warehouse. Your loved ones, mom, dad, sister, brother, husband, wife, in the warehouse. All your stuff in the warehouse. Everything you own, everything you care about is in the warehouse, okay? It's in the warehouse. You pictured it? And obviously, because this warehouse contains all of your stuff, you want to protect it. You need to protect it. You can't just have an unguarded warehouse with all your stuff in it. Now, can you? So you hire a security guard. And this guy's job, obviously, is stop everyone from coming into the warehouse and harming your stuff. That's his job, right? Warehouse has your stuff in it. You hired a security guard. Hey, bud, stop everyone. And he tells you, yep, I'm going to stop him. And you show up one day and you find out that he let 100 people in. to go use your stuff. They're sleeping in your bed, pooping on your toilet, took your car for a joyride, put some of your jewelry in their pocket. 100 people, he let them in. They just start yelling, what are you doing? What? You just let 100 people? Are you crazy? And then you show up the next day and you find out he let another 100 people in. And then another 100 people in. And then another 100 people in. And another 100 people in. And they're just pillaging all of your stuff. Your stuff. And finally, you're incensed with rage at what's happening to your stuff. And so the security guard comes to you and he says, oh, man. Hey, listen. There have been a bunch of people coming in here to loot your stuff. I've been letting in 100 people a day. Here, I have a solution. I want you to give me a huge pay raise. And if you give me a huge pay raise, I'm going to take a lot of your money and I'm going to give it to your neighbor to protect his stuff. Oh, and I'm still going to let people in the warehouse to take your stuff, but I won't let as many in as I was letting in before. That's what the United States Senate, Republicans and Democrats, just tried to do with this border bill. It's that deeply evil. This might be the most treasonous bill I've ever seen in my life. It is a bill that says, that puts into law the violation of our laws. It's part of the bill. Oh, well, we won't even look. Hey, we'll start deporting people after 35,000 a week. 35,000 a week can come here illegally, but then we're going to put a stop to it, guys. The appropriate number of illegals to be allowed in your country is zero. It's zero today. It's zero tomorrow. The number for the year should be zero. In fact, I take that back. That was probably a bad way to put it. The number should be in the negatives because not only is every illegal stopped, the ones you currently have should be bundled up and cuffed and shipped back where they come from. This is, look, I don't know what you want to call it. Sedition? Treason? It's friggin' evil is what it is. Oh, let's talk about the $60 billion for Ukraine real quick. Here's a doozy of a headline. Zelensky confirms he's poised to fire military chief. You have any idea how many people have already been fired in Ukraine or are on the run because of all the money they've swindled away and arms they've swindled away and sold on the black market? And the United States Senate, Republicans and Democrats just came together and promised them three times as much as you will get for your southern border. You mad? Man, I hope you're friggin' mad. Here's Chris Murphy, Connecticut. Yeah.
Well, here's the problem, David. The president can't do this by himself. The president doesn't have the legal authority without additional legislation to control the border.
Of course, that's all a bald-faced lie. He has all the legislation. Every law is already in place. The ultimate authority is in place. He purposely stopped securing the border because they want to flood the country with illegals. Here's New York's very own Chuck Schumer.
We're at a turning point in America. This bill is crucial, and history will look back on it and say, did America fail itself? Why is it crucial? Well, if we don't aid Ukraine, Putin will be walk all over Ukraine. We will lose the war, and we could be fighting in Eastern Europe.
We will lose the war? Who's we? Anyone? Who's we? And we? Who's we?
Watch what happened.
Who's we? We're not, Ukraine's not part of NATO. They're not an ally, even. We're friendly. They're not an ally. They're, what we? We aren't in a war. Someone else is in a war. We aren't in any kind of a war. Oh, I forgot to mention the other part that's in the bill. This is the part no one's talking about. You know what else is in the bill? A gigantic taxpayer-funded check to all the sanctuary cities complaining about the illegals.
I can't be clearer. This is a national problem. You know, Chicago, Boston, Houston, Washington, The national government must solve this, and the challenges that we are facing, no city should be facing these challenges. And I kept saying this over and over again, we're going to start to see the visualization of the failure of the policy. I said this over and over again. I said it last year. I said it, from the beginning of this crisis. We're seeing the visual of what a failed national policy is producing. And when I speak to my colleagues in other cities, they're saying the same thing. It's not unique to New York. We have to fix this with a national solution.
The national solution is in the bill. A gigantic bribe to the sanctuary cities so mayors like Eric Adams will pipe down and stop complaining. Honestly, and I'm trying not to be a prisoner of the moment here, this might be the most evil, treasonous bill that has ever been proposed in my lifetime. It's that bad. Now, we have to do something about this. I'll tell you what we have to do in a moment. Before we do that, I know you're probably worked up right now. I am doing the best I can not to do any yelling tonight. I got worked up this morning, and my wife told me I needed to calm down because my blood pressure was going to get too high, so I'm totally fine right now. All I need is another night's sleep on my MyPillow 2.0. That's all I need. It has temperature-regulating thread, so when you get a little bit hot, the way I am right now, you don't have to worry about laying down and having ear sweat. MyPillow's the best, man, and they're having their big New Year's sale right now. 50% off MyPillow 2.0s, 50% off flannel sheets, everything on sale, especially big boy items, and they have free shipping right now as part of the New Year's sale. I'm talking mattresses, mattress toppers, towels, blankets, all of it. Promo code Jesse is on sale. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse or call them 800-845-0544. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Yes, we will discuss a new skill I've discovered I have over the weekend. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes from now. I'm not done with this border bill talk yet.
We're going to get to something we have to do here in just a moment. Just a couple other things leading up to this. We had a talk, I think it was last week, maybe it was the week before, about how we have a hard time accepting that there are parts of this country where we have been conquered and they don't belong to us anymore. We've been colonized and conquered from within and without. The American people are suffering right now. Our economy, I don't care what they say, it is not providing the way it used to provide for the average American. It's bad. People can't afford the things they used to afford. People can't buy homes. You're trying to buy a home right now? How's that going? Okay, look, here's Jerome Powell. Here's the Fed. Listen.
Another economic hangover after the pandemic is a sharp increase in the national debt. 30 years from now, it is projected to be $144 trillion or $1 million per household. How do you assess the national debt?
We mostly try very hard not to comment on fiscal policy and you know, instruct Congress on how to do their job.
I love how careful the Federal Reserve Chairman has to be. Sorry to interrupt him. We try not to comment on policy. We're talking about the debt. That is your policy, idiot.
Job when actually they have oversight over us.
But is the national debt a danger to the economy, in your view?
In the long run, the U.S. is on an unsustainable fiscal path. The U.S. federal...
$20 billion for the border, $60 billion for Ukraine, and another $14 billion for Israel. And yet everyone with the brain understands we don't have any money. Yet I'm looking here. New York City launches $53 million program to hand out prepaid credit cards to migrant families. Of course, they call them migrant families. How many New Yorkers are listening to the sound of my voice and you're having a hard time paying the power bill, the cell phone bill, the rent, and the grocery bill this month, and $53 million in prepaid credit cards about to be handed out to illegals? Oh, that's a good point, Chris. 25%
5% of Americans, like we talked about last week, 25%, maybe this is you, don't have a dime in savings left. They've drained everything. 53 million for illegals. Don't think it's just New York City. Washington State used $340 million of federal coronavirus money for illegals. And that leads me to something that we have to do. Hopefully we can all participate in this. We're going to have to be patient because it's going to be some time before we get to do it. But James Lankford of Oklahoma, Senator Naked Kendall, he's been the leading voice on the GOP side for this bill. He's been out there doing the run of all the news channels, trying to explain how you really don't understand what's in it. And he grabs the one or two things that kind of sound good and, well, he's doing this.
People have got to be able to read it, go through it themselves. Don't just go off a Facebook post somewhere what the bill says. This dramatically changes asylum. It dramatically changes deportations. We no longer have a 10-year backlog. It builds more wall. Those are the key things that it actually does. But read it for yourselves. Don't just believe what's online.
We have to destroy James Lankford's career. We do. And I'm going to be honest about this because I you know, I'm not big on qualifiers. I need to put one out there right now. I despise James Lankford. I despise him. He is everything I despise about the GOP. From a deep red state, and yet he's weak, pathetic, surrenders to them at every, he surrenders to their narrative at every turn, constantly grabbing his ankles for the communists. I need to be honest about my bias before I say what I'm about to say. I despise James Lankford. I have huge amounts of malice in my heart for James Lankford. Okay? That said, that's not why we must destroy him. We must destroy him because other GOP senators need to look at the career of James Lankford being destroyed, and they need to be afraid. If I look, hey, the Soviets, I mean, the commies do this all over the place, but the Soviets are one of the most famous examples. Stalin issued an order to his troops in World War II and said, retreat, moving backwards, it's not allowed. How did he enforce such an order? Well, he sent in the frontline troops, and then he had a bunch of his officers set up behind his troops with machine gun nests. And you see, if you turned and fled, you would be gunned down by your own troops. They would sit and mow, and they did this many, many times. They would sit and mow their own troops down who were fleeing the battlefield. Why? What is the point of this? Well, if I can't guarantee your bravery, I'm going to make you too afraid to be a coward. I can't sit here and bank on Mike Rounds, Thune, Cornyn, Lankford, Romney. These people are never going to have courage. They're never going to love the country the way you love the country. They're never going to stand up for anything. They're never going to wake up one morning and say, this is the day I'm going to stick it to the commies. It's time to fight back. That day is never, ever, 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 ever going to come. So the day that must come, the only choice we have is to make losers like Mitt Romney wake up one day and say, oh my gosh, whew, I can't vote for this. I don't want to happen to me the same thing I saw happen to James Lankford. James Lankford must politically be destroyed. And I don't know that I have any power to make that happen, but whatever power I do have will be used during the next Oklahoma primary to destroy the political career of James Lankford. We have to hold his political career up as a dead carcass, as a display to the others. Let it be so. Let's move on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. I'm excited about Medal of Honor Monday. I'm going to get to a bunch of email stuff tonight. Oh, I can't wait to this. You get to these retaliatory strikes we did against Syria. That was really well thought out.
Before we do that, I one last thing on this border bill, and then I'm going to move on. Remember, we talked about how it's going to die in the House from very reliable sources of mine. So at least take heart in that. Now, I understand there's another part of this. There's an election part of this, which makes the Republican complicity in this bill even more aggravating. The election part of this is this. Remember, all these people do, they never think about the good of the country. Or they never think about you. They never think about the people. Everything's just about politics and elections and winning this election and that election. Right now, Democrats understand illegal immigration, according to every single poll, is the biggest concern for the American people right now, comfortably, that and the economy. Democrats look bad. They look like exactly what they are, a bunch of filthy open borders communists who hate the country. That is what they are. This helps give them cover. Now, how does it give them cover? Well, they're going to go on a big messaging run now for a year and say, we tried to pass border security and Republicans stopped it. How effective is that going to be? I don't know, and nobody knows. I'm not worried about it being effective on you. Remember, just because something doesn't work on you, though, doesn't mean it doesn't work on idiots who watch the news. I don't know how effective they'll be with that kind of messaging, but that is the plan. We're actually the party of border security. Republicans killed it. And if you think nobody would believe that, well, when's the last time you talked to liberal Aunt Peggy? Does she believe Donald Trump was tied to Russia? Believe me, you can get these drones, you can get these commie robots to believe anything you tell them. All right, now before we move on to Iran and Syria and emails and all kinds of other things, so we had a big party on Saturday night. I told you, didn't I tell you, that I was going to put myself in social situations at least once a week? We've had this talk last week. People will remember, men and women. I shouldn't just make it about men. We all isolate ourselves too much these days because we can. Because of social media and other things, we can. And so when we get off work on Friday night, we don't want to go out. We don't want to go hang with friends. We don't want to go shoot guns, play golf, go to Bible study, go have a beer. We don't want to do these things. I don't want to do these things. I'm not pointing fingers at you. I don't. But it's unhealthy to never be around groups of people. Even introverts like me need to be around groups of people. Saturday night, we went out because it was Ob's birthday party. It was her 40th birthday party. And there's this local brewery here, which we dearly love them. They're very much our people. We believe in shopping local. The food is incredible. So we go there. It's called Saloon Door, actually. If you're ever in the Houston area, it's this awesome local brewery. The hardcore righties. They are our people. Big family place too. You know, you take the kids there, get some brisket, whatever. There was a lot of dancing because there was a band that night. The girls were all out there doing line dancing. And Ob had said she wanted me to try some more dancing that night. And so I got out and I did some line dancing that I thought looked pretty good. I don't think that other people who saw it are backing me up on that. And there were some pretty hurtful comments on social media. I put up a video of me doing this line dancing. It's on my Twitter page or X or whatever it's called. I think it looked pretty good, if I may say so myself. Think of what, Chris? How many did I knock back? Oh, just one. No, I wasn't. No, that was stone sober, buddy. But what are you talking about, Chris? Didn't you see my... The grizzly bear comments do not make sense, Chris. That's rude. Didn't you see my grace and athleticism as I was flying, basically, floating, really, across the dance floor? Anyway, I don't know that I'll be doing radio for very much longer, possibly going to go into professional dancing. Either way, I just wanted to give everyone a heads up. If you turn on the radio next week and I'm not here, I'm dancing. All right, dance is in, it's in me. It's in my heart now. I feel like it's a skill that I just recently discovered, and I wanted everyone to know. Dear Uncle Jesse, last night's show, you were talking about Denny's closing in Oakland. They were using a rooster, which caused your world-famous mind to wonder about eating a rooster. My mind doesn't wonder.
My focus is just stay focused.
When I was a little kid, we had chickens, and I had to go out to the chicken coop and bring in eggs every morning before breakfast. Our rooster was old and mean and would lay in wait ready to pounce on me like he was the president and I was his daughter. Oh, that's not very nice. I can't tell you how many times he raked me with his spurs or got me with his beak, but it was a frequent occurrence. I eventually had enough one day and I hit him a little too hard with a stick. I have to admit he was tough and chewy. But this day I've never had a better meal than when we cooked that mean old jerk for dinner that night. I love, thanks for the show. I love it. It's one of the touchstones I share with my boss and clients, says his name is Johnny. This is one of those things. I have no idea why I'm talking about this on the show, but I'm so angry about the border bill. I'm trying to get myself calmed down before I get to the Iran stuff. So we're going to screw off a lot tonight. I want you to understand. This is one of the things I don't understand about America today when it comes to animals. I am not an animal hater. I am an animal lover. I love nature. I just do. I love it. Half the reason I used to love elk hunting with my dad was just watching them and being out there and seeing cool things. Oh, there's a fox. Oh, there's a bear. Oh, the bear's too close. I just pooped my pants. You know, I love nature. I do. However, Americans have gotten so twisted in their minds about their relationship with nature that they genuinely believe that nature should be allowed to just push them back. But that's not how it works. You're in charge. They're not in charge. You remember I went off about this. It was a town in Florida. I forget where it was, or a county in Florida. And they were screaming and yelling and freaking out because the town had been overrun by peacocks. And the peacocks were attacking people and attacking vehicles. Does nobody own a shotgun in the town? It's a peacock. I promise you, me, 20 buddies, give us some birdshot and a couple 12 gauges. We will have the peacock problem not only solved, the homeless in the town will be eating wonderfully for quite some time. Why do you have a peacock problem? Why do you have a deer problem? Oh, we're overrun with deer. Oh, I can't believe the gophers out here. It's insane to me. All right. I don't know why I went off on that. Jesse. We'll skip that one for now. Jesse, I'm cooking burgers. I have them formed and laid out on a cookie sheet. I'm not sure what temperature to cook them. Please help. All right. We're going to move on to Iran and Syria and stuff like that. But I want to make sure I remind everybody, when cooking a burger, one of the biggest mistakes, the two biggest mistakes, I should say, people make, maybe three. You know, there's a lot of mistakes. So what, Chris? Listen. One, you cook your burger too low. You cook your burger too low. Your burger needs to be medium high, medium to medium high. Why? Because you want a little bit of a crust on the outside of it. Nothing better than a juicy burger that has almost a little bit of crunch to it on the outside of it. Your burger needs to be cooked hotter than you think. Two, make sure it's on a flat top. I know you love your grill. I love your grill. I'm really proud of you. Good burger has to cook in its own fats. And three, make your patty thin. Thin. A good burger is a thin burger. You want more meat? Fine. Make two patties. Thin burger. All right? All right. Let's talk about our retaliatory strikes. Gosh, this is so embarrassing. Before we do that, let's once again hear from Jerome Powell. This is the Federal Reserve Chairman.
Another economic hangover after the pandemic is a sharp increase in the national debt. 30 years from now, it is projected to be $144 trillion, or $1 million per household.
How do you assess the national debt? We mostly try very hard not to comment on fiscal policy and you know, instruct Congress on how to do their job when actually they have oversight over us.
But is the national debt a danger to the economy, in your view?
In the long run, the U.S. is on an unsustainable fiscal path. The U.S. federal government's on an unsustainable fiscal path. And
they haven't changed a single thing. In fact, they're not even pretending like they're changing a single thing. You know what governments and banks are doing around the world? Buying up precious metals. China, they have so much gold right now, you can't even imagine it. Why? Because they understand what's coming. Do you have any? You should. You don't have to buy as much as China did. Get some gold or silver in your physical possession. By the way, you might qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals at Oxford right now. Call Oxford Gold Group. 833-995-GOLD or go to oxfordgoldgroup.com/free. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, Medal of Honor Monday, coming up like 10 minutes from now. But before we get to Medal of Honor Monday or any of the other fun stuff we have on the show, let's get to this.
Do you remember, gosh, it was just last week. I mean, wasn't even long ago. I don't know whether it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't remember what the day was, but just last week, when this brilliant, handsome, funny radio host came on, Chris came on the radio, and remember what he said? This?
We're going to try to half attack. We're going to do two different things. We're going to A, we're going to launch some strikes over there so we can look really tough. But we've been warning you for a week now, so we're going to end up, you watch, Chris, go ahead and write this down. Go ahead and mark this one down. We will launch some strikes, probably this weekend. We will launch some strikes. There will be many, many, many strikes. Pick a number. I don't know, 20, 30, 100. There will be minimal loss of life. There will be fewer people dying in our response than the amount of strikes there are. Write that down, Chris. Get ready. I'm going to play it ad nauseum when it happens. Why is it going to happen that way? They warned all these people ahead of time so they could get out before we struck. Then they get to strike and go on television in front of the American people and say, look, we launched these airstrikes. Let it be known to everybody. This is what happens when you attack America. How many strikes did you send over there, Mr. Kirby? He's going to say, we hit them 200 times. Oh, wow, 200 times. And how many people were killed in those? Seven. That was Jesse Kelly from last week. I've heard he's an oracle. Here was Dana Bash of CNN today asking NSA's very own Jake Sullivan about the airstrikes that happened over the weekend, like I said they would, and how many people they killed.
But is there anything more you can tell the American people who are looking to the administration to not just avenge the death of three soldiers, but also concerned about the region in general? Who got hit? Who got killed? What got taken out?
Well, first of all, Dana, the president has approached this with a straightforward principle, which is that the United States will step up and respond when our forces are attacked. And the United States also is not looking for a wider war in the Middle East. We are not looking to take the United States to war. So we are going to continue to pursue a policy that goes down both of those lines simultaneously, that responds with force, but also that continues to hew to an approach that does not get the United States pulled into a war. Past presidents have had to deal with a significant number of American casualties and American deaths in the Middle East because of war. This president is looking to defend our interests and to defend our troops. That's what he's going to continue to do going forward.
Hey, Chris, You can say you hate this job all you want. Chris just said he hates the job because of how right I am, but maybe you could clue me in. Michael, you too. Did you hear Jake Sullivan give Dana Bash a number on how many people were killed? That was a minute and 18 second long answer. Did you hear a number, Chris? Didn't hear a number, huh? Michael, no number? I didn't think I heard one. Oh, look, here it is. 85 airstrikes across Iraq and Syria. 85. Let me pause for a moment. We talked about this before. You have any idea how devastating an airstrike is? How devastating it is when a cruise missile lands, when a 500-pound bomb lands on something. The explosive power, the killing power, is so great that if you drop bombs, aerial bombs, on an area, the area itself is uninhabitable for at least a half hour. Do you know why? The explosive power is so great in the bomb that not only did everything get wiped out on the inside, but the bomb itself sucked all the oxygen out of the air. You could be in the area in, let's say, a deep, deep bunker that didn't get hit. You don't get hit with any shrapnel, no concussion, and you will still die through lack of oxygen. That is the killing power of a bomb. We attacked 85 targets across Iraq and Syria, and the number we have right now is 16 people. What'd they do? Leave a couple janitors behind? 16 people. This is exactly, is such a great example of America's foreign policy and a perfect example of the Biden administration foreign policy. As I've said time and time and time again, they don't care about the country. That doesn't matter. They don't care about Iran, to be honest with you. They really don't care about foreign issues at all. They're very interested only in their domestic enemies. In case you're wondering who those are, go grab a mirror, look inside of it. That's who they're interested in attacking. All they want out of the Middle East, all this stuff, Israel, Iran, everything else, all they want is for everything to quiet down in an election year. They just want things to quiet down and go away. So they're doing once again that thing politicians always do and trying to walk that tightrope. What's the tightrope? Well, I have to look like I give a crap about America. So I know we need to fight back. We have to attack them back. But I mean, I don't want to hurt people. What if I hurt people and then Iran gets mad and they attack us back? That'll end up with us having to attack them back. Then I get tied into a war in an election year, and since money and power is all that matters to me, I think I'll just give everyone a weak heads up that I'm going to attack, blow up a couple facilities, and then step up in front of the American people and try to talk as if I'm some tough foreign policy guy. That's how it goes every time. Every single time. All right, enough. Speaking of troops on the ground, obviously, losing them is awful, as we just lost more. SEALs, reservists, we just lost more. And, I mean, you think it hurts you, think it hurts me when we look at a headline. What's it like for the families? What's it like when mom never comes back from Afghanistan or Syria? When dad doesn't come home? Tunnel to Towers is there when we are not, when I am not, because I'm not there. I'm not there. But who's going to be there next year? When mom still needs help, dad's gone and mom needs help, the kids need help, Tunnel to Towers is there. Smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, paying off mortgages for fallen first responder families and Gold Star families. When you give $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers, that's where it goes. And unlike many, most of these organizations, the money actually goes there. Take care of widows and orphans, please. More than 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to them. T2T.org. T2T.org. Go now.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.